Now let's continue on here in Galatians, just across the page in the next column, chapter 6 and verse 7. Now, one of the things that is going to be helpful for us to understand is this. We have to be honest with ourselves, honest with God, honest with each other. And overcoming a deceitful nature that likes to make itself appear good and accepts lies concerning itself and is self-deceiving, let's remember this scripture. Let's not bring those things into our lives or into the church. Verse 7, Galatians, do not be deceived. All right. How are the two ways you are deceived? By self and by Satan. Well, let's make a third one. By others. So don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Remember where we started with the offering. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow carnality, you're going to reap carnality. If you sow vanity, you're going to reap vanity. That's just the way that life is. And when we come to understand that with the Spirit of God, then that helps us to change, that helps us to grow, that helps us to overcome, so we can yearn for the truth, yearn for God's Spirit, be led of God's Spirit. That's the way out of the leavenedness of sin and human nature and vanity. Now notice verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall reap corruption from the flesh. It's just going to happen. A living law. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall reap eternal life from the Spirit. So that's what we need to do. Now notice the fruit we are to produce, because you see, you have the way of the world and you have the way of the Lord. And Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, brother. Okay? Now, let's apply it. Come back here to chapter 5, verse 22. This is what we need to be building. This is why when we eat the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, that means tasting the word of God, so to speak, putting it in our lives, and remember Christ said, concerning the Passover, the one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall live by me, even as I live by the Father. Now notice what that will produce then, you see, because the solution to human nature are not self-improvement courses which the world can have, but it's all based on vanity and lust. Oh, yes, you can make yourself better and more successful in the world, but that's not what God wants within the church. What does he want? Here it is. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit of God, notice, love, joy, even in times of trouble, peace, because you have peace with God, peace with the brethren, peace with husband and wife, peace with your children, hopefully. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Now, are those not all the characteristics of the character of God? Yes, indeed. Now, notice what he says. Against such things there is no law. Here's the key. This shows part of the work that we are to do expressed in the way that Jesus expressed it. When he said, that you have to love me more than father, mother, brother, sister, or anyone else, and you have to pick up your cross and follow me. And pick up your cross means that you crucify the deeds of the flesh, as Paul is writing here. Verse 24, but those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. If we live by the Spirit, we should also be walking by the Spirit. In other words, our lives have to be true to what God wants. Now, of course, there are going to be times when we sin. That's when we repent. But really, we need to repent every day because of the imperfection that is in us. And the whole goal of being a Christian is to come from deception to truth, from vanity to perfection. An amazing process, isn't it? That's why we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now notice what is to happen to us. Let's come here to Romans, the 12th chapter. Let's notice how this process is done. And let us notice how these things are to affect our lives. It has to begin, first of all, with conversion and a change of heart and mind. That can only be done by the Spirit of God. Now notice what we are to strive for. Verse 1, Romans 12. Paul makes it very clear. I exhort you, therefore. So we're being exhorted by the Apostle Paul. Brethren, by the mercies of God, because God wants mercy, not sacrifice. God wants love, not condemnation. He wants repentance, not ogling in sin. He wants overcoming, not reveling in vanity. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, not an animal sacrifice on some altar out there, but a living sacrifice, you living for God in this evil world, you helping other people and brethren, you growing and overcoming, and all of us together doing it individually, you see, because here's the key. Let's just use an example. If you have 10 parts or 10 elements to something, if all of them are selected from the best and then put together, then you will have a fine product, right? Same way with our lives. If you have two people who are changing and growing and overcoming, you can develop and be transformed with the Spirit of God. Now, if we do this independently, which God expects us to do day by day, then when we come together as brethren, you see, it will be a great event, because we're all yielding to God. Not like it was there at Corinth. Oh, boy, they had some coming in with psalms and some coming in with tongues and some coming in and saying, I'm for Peter, and others saying, I'm for Paul. Oh, others saying, well, you got it all wrong. You got to be for Christ. At least those that said that had that right. But Paul said, are you not carnal? What does this tell us? This tells us this. The place to overcome is in your life and at home and in your daily activities. So when we come together for Sabbath services or holy days, we don't bring the junk with us. See? Yes. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service. Now notice verse 2. Ties right in with 1 John 2 and verse 15. Do not conform yourselves to this world. We're not to be like the world. We're not to live like the world. We are to be changed. We are to be converted. We are to become unleavened in Christ. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And isn't it the renewing of the Spirit of God by the washing of the water of the Word, as we have covered? Yes. By the renewing of your mind in order that you may prove what is well-pleasing and good and the perfect will of God. Yes, indeed. Renewing of your mind. Now, in renewing your mind, there are some things that you are to do. Now, remember the parable of the 10 virgins, okay? 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 5, even though they had their faults and problems, as depicted by sleeping and slumbering, took oil with them in an oil-carrying vessel so they would have oil for their lamps. That means that they did the works and they did the preparation so that the Spirit of God would be there. But the 5 foolish did not do it. And then they came to the 5 wise when the call went out, the bridegroom is coming. Give us of your oil. They said, we can't. Not a matter of being selfish. You can't get the Holy Spirit from another person. You've got to get it from God. So how do we not conform ourselves to this world, and how are we transformed with the renewing of our minds? Let's come to Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Now here in Proverbs 4, we have a real principle that we need to apply all the time, and especially those of us living in this age, when we are affected by so many things visually. I mean, you can even go into the supermarket, and the first thing you are assaulted with is music, advertisement, glitzy things, buy this, buy that, value here, discount there. Then you go by the news rack and you see all the things of the pride of life, the sinfulness of this world, and then right especially as you go out through those checkout stands, all the magazines for the women. Now, I've looked very hard. Only on one occasion did I ever find one for a man. But I tell you what, when you see all of these things and you watch television, you listen to the radio, you see other people, you hear what they have to say. Now, here's a principle that we need to understand. This is part of getting the leaven out of our lives and putting in the unleaven and also standing guard over what we think and do and act, which then leads to the transformation and renewing of our minds. Let's see it here. Verse 18. Proverbs 4, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. Is that not also a prophecy of the resurrection? Yes, indeed. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They don't even know what's right. They don't even know what is wrong. And they're leading their lives and coming down to the end of it filled with sin and the penalties of it, you see. So here's God's admonition to us. My son, attend to my words, the words of God. Incline your ears to my sayings, the faithful sayings of Jesus Christ. Let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. Let it be right there to guide you, to direct you, to lead you, to keep you from evil, to keep you from sinning, to overcome any temptation that comes along through the Spirit of God. Now notice, for the words, then, and Christ and the Spirit of God, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all your flesh, and health to your spiritual character. See, because when you do these things, you're building the character of God. You're building the mind of Christ. You're using the Spirit of God to write in your heart and to write in your mind the truth of God. This is what conversion is all about and the transformation of the mind. All right? Now notice, we have a responsibility. Now just put in your notes right there. Job 31:1, he said, I made a covenant with my eyes, when they were trying to accuse him of lusting after other women. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes, we can do that with many different things. And that covenant with his eyes was, I'm not going to look, I'm not going to lust, I'm not going to get involved in that. We can apply that principle to many, many different things, can't we? Yes, now apply it right here, verse 23, because this is a real key in overcoming, and this is a real key of conversion, a real key of getting out sin, a real key to grabbing hold and doing the things that are motivated by the Spirit of God to bring in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth of Christ. Verse 23, above all, guard the door of your mind. Or heart, with diligence. It takes work. It takes effort. It's not going to happen just sitting back and thinking about it. You have to apply yourself. You have to apply your thoughts. You have to apply your mind. You have to apply the Word of God. How many times have we heard prayer and study? Well, brethren, I'm here to tell you, those are the basic fundamental building blocks of conversion. That's why in the New Lord, What Should I Do book, we show them how to pray. We tell them how to study. We tell them who is a true Christian. Because their lives have been so mixed up and topsy-turvy and turned upside down by the Christian religions of this world, they need help. And they need to start by repentance and prayer and drawing close to God. So likewise do we on a daily basis. Repentance and prayer and drawing close to God and studying His Word. See, because when we do that, the Spirit of God is writing it in our hearts and in our minds and inscribing them in our very being so that we have the character of God. And that's the whole purpose of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, is it not? Yes. Guard the door of your mind with all diligence. Now notice, for out of it are the issues of life. And with us, that's the issues of eternal life. We're no longer trying to figure out how to live in this world. We're yielding to God to understand what it is to become spiritually minded, because to be spiritually minded, as we have read, is peace, and to change and grow and overcome. Now notice, so we are to guard, but also, this ties right in with the Feast of Unleavened Bread, put away from you, yes, a deceitful mouth, and devious lips put far from you. Let your eyes look right on, let your eyelids look straight before you, ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways shall be established. Do not turn to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. All of that fits right in with what? The feast and meaning of unleavened bread and why we keep it. Now let's come to the New Testament and let's see something here very important that Paul explains it, how we need to do it here. Let's come to 2 Corinthians 10. These scriptures tie right together. Book of Proverbs and what Paul has said. Each work together. Remember, the unity of Scripture. All Scripture works together because it's inspired and written to be line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. A little here and a little there, and you put it all together. So you see, the proper way of studying the Bible is what is called the principle of addition. You don't use one scripture to fight another scripture. You put it together, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now let's come to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and let's see what the Apostle Paul said. Now, I know we've covered some of these things in the past, but, you know, we need to understand these and go over them. And one of the best teachers is repetition. So let's read it here. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10. For although we walk in the flesh, yes, we live in a world and we're still fleshly, aren't we? Yes. We do not war according to the flesh. In other words, our spiritual war and battle is not according to the carnal ways and means of this world, but our spiritual. That's how we overcome. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the overthrowing of strongholds. Have you ever had a thought? Have you ever had some lust in your mind? Have you ever had something stuck in your mind that just like a stronghold? Have you ever had bitterness and envy and hate stuck in your mind? Have you ever had it that where you see someone, even a brother in the church, and they go by and you get all upset? That's a stronghold in your mind that you need to overcome. What is the stronghold in your mind? Ask yourself. You can overcome it. It says, but mighty through God to the throwing down of strongholds. Now notice how he describes it here. Casting down vain imaginations. You're guarding the door of your mind. Vain imagination comes along and you discard it out of your life. You don't get caught up in it. You don't get lifted up in pride. Remember how we've covered recently many times, and this has really left an impression upon my mind as I look back and see all the things that have happened in the church, how that Hezekiah got lifted up in pride because of what God did for him. And then when the ambassadors from Babylon came, he showed them all the wealth that God had given him, all the wealth of all the kings. And God said through Isaiah, what did you show them? And he said, everything. Isaiah said, it's all going to Babylon. Did it go to Babylon? Yes, indeed. Without a doubt, it did. But when you read the account there, you find that it says, and because of the business with the ambassadors from Babylon, God left him to try him to know what was in his heart. Now, whenever you get involved in pride and carnal things, God can take a step back just to see what you're going to do. Are you going to return to him or are you going to continue in your own way? What is it? Now, likewise, I see this as a principle which has happened to the churches of God. Brethren and ministers get lifted up in pride, and lo and behold, false doctrine and different things come in, and pretty soon, poof, they're gone. I look back and I think, what happened to all of those who professed to be part of the church of God? And when God's judgment came because of sin, because they all got lifted up with pride, and God stood back and left, what happened? Where are they? How did they survive the test? Now, we need to ask that of ourselves, see, because the Feast of Unleavened Bread is a perfect time to come back to God. So let's do that. All right, let's continue on here. See, casting down vain imaginations and every high thing, where? In the mind, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity. Guard the door of your mind. Every thought into the obedience of Christ. Now that's something, isn't it? Yes. That's why I did the series, Washing of the Water by the Word. That is God's Spirit and the Word of God to sanctify us. See? And notice, and having a readiness to avenge disobedience whenever your obedience has been fulfilled. So then Paul asked the question. Are you looking at things according to their appearance? If anyone is persuaded in his own mind that he is Christ's, let him reconsider this considering himself, for exactly as he is Christ, so also are we Christ's. So So that shows you part of the division that was there in the church at Corinth, which is exactly what the church of God is today. Look at all the churches of God. Where are they? What are they doing? I hope and pray every one of them return to God, stay close to God, grow, change, overcome, do what is right. But just like everything else, it gets down to each one of us as individuals. And we have to change, and we have to grow, and we have to pray, and we have to overcome. Yes, and let's see how that is here. Let's see how these things are. Let's come to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Let's see what we are to do because of what God has done for us. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, perfectly in fitting with the days of unleavened bread, of put out the leaven, eat the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now here in chapter 4, here's what all of this is about. Let's bring it together so we can understand it in its totality here. Verse 21. But if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him according to the truth in Jesus, in other words, you know the truth, you've heard it. How many sermons have you listened to? How many times have you read the Bible, etc.? That concerning your former conduct, you put off the old man. Put out the leaven. Put off the old man and the deceitful lust, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Isn't that true? Yes. You know, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, and he doesn't see his own corruption. He doesn't see his own lust and his own pride. That's just a natural way of living. But it takes the Spirit of God to show that. So that's why Paul is writing here. See? Don't go back and do that. See? Concerning your former conduct, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. God made us to be renewed. We can be, regardless of what has gone on in the past. We can be renewed. As long as there's life, there is hope. So we can change. We can grow. We can overcome. And that you put on the new man. Now notice how this is done, which according to God is created in righteousness and holiness of truth, because we're his workmanship. See, so salvation is creation. God's creation in us to change our hearts, to change our minds, to give us the mind of Christ, to give us the understanding through his Spirit. We have the sonship of God. Now notice what we're to do. Just exactly parallel as we read there in Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Let each one of you put away lies and speak the truth with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. When you become angry, do not sin. That's a challenge, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't carry anything to bed with you at night. Anger, hatred, jealousy, resentment, any of these things. You know why? You're going to lose sleep. God doesn't want you to lose sleep. Just pray about it, repent about it, get it out of your mind, casting down vain imaginations, bringing every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. Yes. Neither give place to the devil. See, because all those things give an opening for the devil. Oh, yes, you're right with that anger. Yes, you know you're entirely right. Now, you may be, but if you're hateful and not praying for the other person, and that anger continues, or jealousy, or resentment, or bitterness, whatever, what are you doing? How is your life? God expects us to overcome it. Don't give place to the devil. Let the one who stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor with his hands, working at what is good, so that he may impart something to the one who has need. Do not let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Now, that's a challenge, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Sure is. A lot of us have to repent almost every day because of that, don't we? Yes. But that which is good and needful for edification, that it may give grace to those who hear, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you have been sealed for the day of redemption. See? Don't grieve the Spirit of God. How do you grieve the Spirit of God? Not that it's a person, but the, like Paul wrote there in Galatians, the fifth chapter, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit fights against the flesh. So if you're giving in to the flesh, you are causing grievousness between you and God through His Holy Spirit that is in you. So that's what it's talking about there. Then he says, let all bitterness and indignation and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be removed from you together with all malice, and be kind. Change your ways, change your thoughts, change the way that you do things, and tender-hearted toward one another, forgiving one another. That is the key. Forgiving, forgetting, because remember this, even as God has also in Christ forgiven you and continues to do so and will as you yield to God. We need to understand that. Now let's come right on to chapter 5, because this fits right in with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What are we to do? How are we to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ? How are we to guard the door of our minds? With all diligence. Here it is right here. And I love this verse, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God. That's the model for our conduct, not the world, not other people. Paul said, follow me or imitate me as I follow or imitate Christ. And here he writes, be imitators of God as beloved children, not cantankerous, not foolish, not sinful, not filled with vanity, not filled with carnality, no. And walk in love, even as Christ also loved us. And think about what he has done to love us. And gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Remember that. That is putting in the unleavenedness of Christ. The truth of God. The Spirit of God. The love of God. That's what he wants in us. That's how it's to be. Now notice what he says then concerning the works of the flesh. But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, do not permit it to even be named among you as fitting for saints. No. And yet the church was filled with all of that. No wonder God had to spit it out of its mouth. Nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not becoming, instead thanksgiving. Then he reminds them in no uncertain terms. You can't live like the world and be like the world and expect to enter into the kingdom of God. It's not going to happen. Notice, for this you know. You understand this? That no fornicator, that now that's physical or spiritual. Spiritual is bringing in the false doctrines of the Christianity of the world. And why should we go to them and say, oh, well, how do you understand thus and such? How can they have any understanding if they don't love God and keep his commandments? Huh? Oh, they think they love the Lord. Many of them, I'm sure, are dedicated. But what happens when it comes to the Sabbath? What happens when it comes to law keeping? What happens when it comes to holy day keeping? What happens when it comes down to, should you take the Passover and wash one another's feet? What is it? See? No, spiritual fornication or physical fornication. Now, a lot of young people today, they say, well, sex is fine. Our teachers have taught us. You need to go back through that whole series I did on obsessed with sex with church and home. Find out you're ruining and destroying your own life. I got an email from a woman here the other day. She said, oh, please pray for me and my daughter. My daughter was sweet and nice, and she grew up and graduated from high school, and everything was fine. And when she got to college, she got involved with drugs, and now her life is in a mess, and I have a 13-month-old granddaughter. The wages of sin is death. And between death, it's pain, it's misery, it's rottenness. And remember, the first and foremost sin of people has to do with sexual immorality. And the first and foremost sin of those who claim to be Christians is rejecting the commandments of God, the will of God, and the truth of God. Or unclean person or covetous person who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ? No, it doesn't. Do not let anyone deceive you with vain words, for because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. No, we're not to let those things come upon us. Listen, brethren, God has called us to holiness, to truth, to sanctification. This is what it needs to be all about, and we have a guarantee. We have a guarantee. Just turn the page here to Philippians, the first chapter. So if you have things to overcome, if you have sins in your life that you need to repent of them. God will forgive you. Strive and overcome. God will help you. Guard the door of your mind. Bring every thought into captivity to Christ. Now notice what he says here. Philippians, the first chapter, verse 3. I thank my God in every remembrance of you, always making supplication with joy in my every prayer for you all, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident. We've got to have this confidence, brethren, of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is going to complete it. God is doing a work in each and every one of us. That's why we're here. That's why we keep the Sabbath. That's why we keep the Passover. That's why we keep the holy days. And that's how we can change and grow and overcome. Now let's notice the prayer. Let's notice the prayer of Jesus Christ in John 17. And we will end here. We're not going to go through the whole prayer because we just covered it the other night on the Passover. But let's go to John 17 and let's see the goal of what Christ is praying for us. What God wants for us. What Christ wants for us. Let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 14. He's praying to the Father. This is the Lord's Prayer right here. John 17, beginning in verse 14 now. I've given them your words. Now think about it. We've got the whole Bible, don't we? All the words of God. Everything necessary to develop Christian character. Everything necessary for the completion of the work that God is doing in us unto eternal life. And the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you would take them out of the world. A lot of times we feel that way. A lot of times because of the difficulties we are going through. We wish that that would be so. But he can't take us out of the world because we're still fleshly. So we have to live in the world, but claim this promise here. But that you, that is the Father, would keep them, that is all the brethren, from the evil one. And that's the whole story of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, is it not? Yes, indeed. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is the truth. Now, to tie that in with the Ephesians 5:25, by the washing of the water, by the word. That's how we're sanctified. That's how we are made holy, you see. Your word is the truth. Even as you did send me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And we're the result of it. And we're here reading the very words that God wanted us to have, that the apostles wrote down. Isn't that amazing? Their works are still preaching to us. So is Moses, and so are all the prophets, and so are all the Psalms preaching to us and teaching us. Listen, brethren, we have the fullness of the Word of God, and the last thing we want to do is to get into a Laodicean attitude and think, oh my, we have everything made. No, we've been through that. We need to be repenting Laodiceans with zeal, with truth, with understanding, with overcoming. Yes, indeed. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in your truth. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who shall believe in me through their word. That's us. From that day down to the very last one who's converted. That they all may be one family, sons and daughters of God, that even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, spiritually, that they may be one in us in order that the world may believe that you did send me. They haven't yet believed it because the part of what God is working to complete this is not yet done, and it won't be done until the return of Jesus Christ. I've given them the glory that you gave me. That is, if we have the Spirit of God, we have received that small portion of the glory of God. And the glory, then, another glory, are the words of Christ and the writings of the apostles and everything that is contained in the Old Testament, in order that they may be one in the same way that we are one. That's what God wants. That's why God is molding and shaping us. That's why we need to put the leaven of sin out of our lives and the unleavened bread of truth and sincerity in our minds and hearts to lead us and guide us. That's why we need to guard the door of our minds. That's why we need to bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ, that we may be one in them, as we are one. Think of that, brother. Now, notice how Christ explained it. I in them, through the Spirit of God, you in me, that they may be perfected. Now, that's right where we started, isn't it? May be perfected, changed from carnal and vain and sinful to perfect and righteous and holy and blameless. That's the meaning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, perfected into one, and that the world may know you did send me, and that I have loved them as you have loved me. Now, brethren, let's, during this Feast of Unleavened Bread, let's be sure and apply these scriptures. Let's set ourselves a course and a pattern to be guarding the door of our mind and bringing every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ, and to bring in the unleavenedness of sincerity and truth from God, and to close the door on the leaven of this world. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.